Reading from Startide Rising by David Brin. Chapter 9, The Journal of Gillian Baskin. It's been some time since I've been able to make an entry in this personal log. Since the shallow cluster, it seems we've constantly been in frantic motion, making the discovery of the millennia, getting ambushed at Morgran, and fighting for our lives from then on. I hardly ever see Tom anymore. He's always down in the engine or weapons pods. I'm either here in the lab or helping out in sickbay. Ship surgeon Makani has a mouthful of problems. Fenn have always had a talent for hypochondria. A fifth of the crew shows up every sick call with psychosomatic complaints. You can't just tell them it's all in their heads. So we stroke them and tell them what brave fellows they are and that everything's going to be all right. I think if it weren't for the captain, half of this crew would be hysterical by now. To many of them, he seems almost like a hero out of the whale dream. Kredeki moves about the ship, watching the repairs and giving little lessons in Kanink logic. The Fen seem to buck up whenever he's nearby. Still, reports keep coming in about the space battle. Instead of tapering off, it's only getting thicker and heavier, and we're all getting more than a little worried about Hikahi's party. Gillian put down her stylus. From the small circle of her desk lamp, the rest of the laboratory appeared dark and gloomy. The only other light came from the far end of the room. Silhouetted against the spots was a vaguely humanoid shape, a mysterious shadow lying on a stasis table. "Hikahi," she sighed, "where in Ifni's name are you?" That Hikahi's survey party hadn't even sent back a monopulse confirmation of the recall order was now of great concern. Streaker couldn't afford to lose those crew Fen. For all of his frequent unreliability outside the bridge, Kipiru was their best pilot. Even Toshio Iwashika had a lot of promise. But most of all, the loss of Hikahi would hurt. Without her, how could Kredeki manage? Hikahi was Jillian's best dolphin friend, at least as close to her as Tom was to Kredeki or Tisht. Jillian wondered why Takata Jim had been appointed vice captain instead of Hikahi. It made no sense. She could only imagine that politics was behind it. Takata Jim was a Stenos. Perhaps Ignacio Metz had had a hand in choosing the complement for this mission. Metz was a passionate advocate of certain dolphin racial types back on Earth. Jillian didn't write these thoughts down. They were idle speculations, and she didn't have time for speculation. Anyway, it's time I got back to Herbie. She closed her journal and got up to walk over to the stasis table where a dry, desiccated figure floated in a heavily shielded field of suspended time. The ancient cadaver grinned back at her through the glass. It wasn't human. There hadn't even been multicellular creatures on Earth when this thing had lived and breathed and flown spaceships. Yet it looked eerily humanoid. It had straight arms and legs and a very manlike head and neck. Its jaw and eye orbits were strange-looking, but its skull still had a very manlike grin. "How old are you, Herbie?" she asked in her thoughts. 1 billion years? 2? How is it your fleet of ancient hulks waited undiscovered by galactic civilization for so long, waited until we came along, a bunch of wolfling humans and newly uplifted dolphins? Why were we the ones to find you? And why did one little hologram of you beamed home to Earth make half the patron lines in the galaxy go crazy? Streaker's micro-library was no help. It refused to recognize Herbie at all. Maybe it was holding back, or perhaps it was simply too small an archive to remember an obscure race so long extinct. Tom had asked the Nis machine look into it. So far, the sarcastic Timbrimi artifact had been unable to cozen out an answer. Meanwhile, between sickbay and her other duties, Jillian had to find a few hours a day to examine this relict non-destructively and maybe figure out what was stirring up the Edies so. If she didn't do it, no one would. Somehow she would make it until tonight. Poor Tom, Jillian thought, smiling. He'll be coming back from his engines, wiped out, and I'll be feeling amorous. It's a damn good thing he's a sport. She picked up a Pion microprobe. Okay, Herbie, let's see if we can find out what kind of a brain you had.